This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and it's Friday. I didn't even realize that. It's really cool. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for June 26th, episode 1199, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You're crying all the time.
Spot around one eye that looked just like that.
Oh, where is my little dog gone? Oh, where can
he? Hey there, my little dog. Would you like to go outside and play with me?
Who let the dogs out? Who let the dogs out?
That's right. It's Take Your Dog to Work Day, 17th annual Pet Sitters International, created it 17 years ago. So it's Take Your Dog to Work Day, and my dog is laying right here at my feet.
Glorious. I have two by my feet.
Do you?
I get it. Yes,
yeah.
I do.
We take our dogs to work every day.
We do. It's nothing special over here. Now, that Who Let the Dogs Out, Luke has got a birthday card that you open it up and it goes, Who Let the Dogs Out? And when is that thing going to die? He opens it up 400 times a day and he dances to it. Who let the dog out?
You're going to have to cut the back and take the battery out.
God, it's that and the SpongeBob singing happy birthday about kill you.
I knew if I put Who Let the Dogs Out, that was going to be in everybody's head all day long.
I love it. Take Your Dog to Work Day. I'm wondering, if you watch the local news or you watch Jimmy Fallon, or are they going to have their dogs at work with them? I wonder.
I don't know. We'll find out. And, we want to see pictures of your dogs today. So I did a post on our Horses in the Morning page, going to show up here shortly. And we really do want to see pictures of your doggy. I put a picture of Glory in there. But we want you to post pictures of your doggy. It doesn't even have to be at work. It can just, if you're not bringing your doggy to work, that's fine. We want to see it. So post a picture of your doggy on our Facebook, or doggies. I bet you most of our listeners have more than one doggy.
I'm sure. I don't think any horse people have one dog. You may have one horse, but...
Yeah, we have one now only because our house is so small. I think that two would be kind of crowded. Although most Greyhound people don't just have one dog.
That's great. That's right. You know, everybody I know with a Greyhound only has one dog. Is it because they don't get along with others?
No, actually, most people with Greyhounds have two, three, or four. They have
Greyhounds?
A whole bunch. Yeah, yeah. Nikki, who is one of our listeners, has two Greyhounds. I saw her posting pictures of her dogs, and she has two. But yeah, most of the people, when we would go to the Greyhound picnics, where there'd be hundreds of Greyhounds, almost everybody had two or three. I can't imagine having three Greyhounds in a house. That's a lot of running and carrying on.
Yeah. Anyway, well, it's Bring Your Dog to Work Day. We want to see how many Greyhounds you have or how many dogs you have. Put them all in the picture. Take a Delphi.
A Delphi?
Yeah. You see what I did there? That's a dog selfie.
I saw it. That's pretty good. That's pretty good for 6 in the morning with very little coffee. I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Jennifer, what is coming up on today's show?
Jennifer's on mute.
Wait a minute. Hold on, Jennifer. We have to take that now.
You can't
now.
Do that, Glenn.
Okay, now
you can't put me on mute and then just, blindside me and tell me to talk.
Okay.
Hey, talk away.
Go ahead.
That's what I do to Glenn. I put him on mute. He just talks away.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, USEF Director of Sport Will McConnell is going to start us out with a freshman course on the Pan American Games, also known as the biggest international sporting event that nobody knows anything about. Not and true. After the break, EquityMFG.com is really badass, has special guest Kat Hill on to choose the winner of her book, World Class Grooming, which she co-wrote with Emma Ford. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. Daily Winnie time. Well, my Daily Winnie goes out to host of the Horsemanship Radio Show, Debbie Laux. I recorded with her yesterday, and Monty was on, and we just had a great time. So I just want to give Debbie my Daily Winnie for being cool.
God, she's so cool.
See, that's it. So that's just one of the... And you head out there to California to... Flyover Farm. No, you live at Flyover Farm. You head out. What the heck's the name of their farm? Now I'm totally
Flag going. Is Up Farm.
Flag Is Up Farm. I knew it started with an F. Flag Is Up Farm next week.
I have 9 more sleeps until I leave. 9 right. more. And I like went to the store yesterday to try to find some like technical fabric shirts. I want to look good. I want to look professional. And I found nothing. And do you know how freaking impossible it is to try on clothes with a 2-year-old in your dressing room? It can't be done. So I went to all the way to the store, got some clothes as he's yanking things off the rack. Sorry, people at Ross. As he's yanking things off the rack, I finally get him wrangled into the cart. We go in to try things on. Not one thing worked, and it was a colossal waste of time. So I will continue. I think I'm just going to go to Goodwill. I mean, really. Do they really care if your kid makes a mess in there?
No,
there's a whole
it's already
toy
a mess.
No, absolutely not.
And y'all know my addiction to Goodwill. So maybe I'll find some nice technical fabric shirts in Goodwill. Doubtful, but you know, every once in a while, you can find a pair of riding boots in there. So who knows? Who knows?
All right.
My Daily Winnie goes out to Charlotte Desjardins. And let me tell you why. So there's this little girl, and her name is Macy. And she and her pony Daisy went to a show, and they had a costume class. Now, Macy is like, I don't know, 6 or 7. And Daisy, the pony, is like a Shetland. I mean, we're talking tiny, maybe a mini. So they go to a show, and they dress up as Charlotte and Vallegro. I mean,
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. It's so cute. I will, I'll share the post here in a second, but I didn't want you guys to see it before I told the story. So they look adorable. I mean, she's got medals around her neck. She's in like full dressage dress. They spent a lot of time and money and they didn't win. I mean, I want to know who won because there's nobody who can beat Charlotte and Vallegro. So apparently, Charlotte found out about this and heard that this dear, sweet little Macy and Daisy did not win. So guess what she did? She sent their ribbon that they won at the World Cup Finals in Las Vegas, the red for first place, sent it to Macy and Daisy. And she gave them she said, the one that Blueberry and I won from the World Cup in Las Vegas. Stay smiling, Macy. You did a great job at the show. And now you have the red ribbon you deserve. Blueberry sends his love to. Are you kidding me?
It's the cutest little pony and the little girl all dressed up. She's even wearing tails.
So if
she's
I dress,
she's got nettles around her neck.
Yeah, so cute.
If I dress Lucas up as Victor Espinoza and put him on a pony and say that it's I don't know, American Pharoah, will American Pharoah send me some shoes?
Well, could I don't know.
Okay, Zenyatta. Here we go, Zinny.
Or Victor might, you know, Victor might send you, you know, who knows what Victor would send you.
Oh my God, I got to do it. All right.
A silk would be cool.
He needs official silk. So maybe that'll happen. It'll probably fit Lucas at this point. My God.
All reports are that Charlotte is one of the nicest people ever.
Oh my gosh. Can you believe she just like mailed this little girl her ribbon? So I will put that post on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page. I just love her. She's just all class.
I've never heard anything, you know, like behind the scenes or off air talking to various professionals in the industry. You never hear anybody saying anything bad about Charlotte. You know, she's just a really cool, good representative for the sport. She's like the queen of dressage.
She is, and she's just amazing. All right, so I just shared it. You got to look at this stinking adorable little girl and little pony. Oh my gosh, so cute. All right, I have a history lesson for you that I'm going to tell. Did you see that I have a history lesson? Don't refresh. I don't want you to read ahead. I have an awesome history lesson coming up after our first guest, and we talk about the Pan Am Games. This is going to blow you away.
All right, very good. But before we get to our first guest, Jennifer's going to try and wrangle him up. You want to hear what we thought of Inside Out? We went to see the movie Inside Out the other night. That's
okay.
Yep.
Time out. You went on Wednesday, right?
Yep.
And you woke up in a bad mood on Wednesday. So how legitimate is this review going to be? Because you texted me, saw the movie.
Jennifer will back me up on this one. So Wednesday night, we go to see Inside Out, which is the Pixar animated movie about this girl and who's going into puberty. And it's about all the little emotions in her head. You can actually see inside people's heads in the movie, and you see them at a control panel controlling their people. And it had the potential to be really, really funny. It really did. When you watch the trailer, it looked funny. Unfortunately, Jamie, you know how sometimes the trailer has all the funny parts of the movie in it?
Oh, I hate that.
Well, guess what? So we get there. I wanted to like this. We've liked every Pixar movie that's pretty much ever been out. I wanted to like this. And I will say that anybody under the age of 5, there were a lot of kids there, little kids, maybe 5 or 6. I'll give it up to 6. Really loved this movie. They all loved this movie. And their parents seemed to love it because their kids were liking it. I literally slept through about 30% of the movie. I got a good 40-minute nap in. Jennifer said, you were sleeping through most of that movie. And I could see her wanting to doze off, too. It was a coming-of-age movie, really, about this girl. And the potential with the little voices in your head could have been very funny. And actually, the trailer, if you stay for the trailer at the end, that's where they put all the funny parts. Because if they had done that all the way throughout the movie, it might have been a good movie. Otherwise, I give it a... We both decided after the movie, it was a 1 flake out of 6. Yeah, it was that bad.
Let me get this straight. There's a movie that is for children, that children went to and children liked. And you, as a grown-ass man, went to this movie in a theater full of children and did not like the movie. It was too boring for you.
Well, now, you know, that's, you can say that about Shrek, and all of those are made for kids, too, and they're great for adults.
They're kind of also made for adults, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, most Pixars are, though, if you think about it, right?
Yeah, so nothing. No. So it didn't have anything. But see, you know, you talked about it, and then I went and watched the trailer. I didn't even think the trailer was funny.
Oh, it was. Now, you could probably rent it for Lucas when you know, time comes. But, you know, when it's up for rental. But I would not spend $25 to go see it at the movies.
Gotcha. Now, on another hand of movies, I did hear from several people that the Jurassic Park movie sucked.
Oh, no. We heard from even our own listeners loved it.
I know. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's not as good here in Arizona. Maybe there's a different one.
It wasn't as good out in the West as it is in the East.
Yeah, I guess so. I think there's like another release version out here or something.
I'll tell you what. I almost left Inside Out to go next door and watch Jurassic World.
Did you?
Yeah, I wish we had done that instead. We're going to try and see that, hopefully. Hey, and one other thing here, and then we'll get to our guest. I forgot to mention to you, we're going to Medieval Times in Orlando on Sunday. So we'll have a report about that. We've been to Medieval Times about 12 times.
But we love it.
Yeah, we haven't been there. They changed the show last year. And the first time in 20 years, they had changed the show. So we haven't seen the new show yet. So we are heading over. We're heading over to Medieval Times with my brother and his wife. So we'll talk. We'll let you know how that goes on Monday and how the new show is. But we like it. We owned it.
I have a super funny story about Medieval Times, too, that I can tell you someday.
Okay. Wait, hold it for Monday. All right.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Well, let's get to our first guest. We have the director director of sport at the United States Equestrian Federation on here. His name is Will Connell, and we're going to talk about the Pan Am Games. And, you know, the reason I have him on is we had a couple of listeners that messaged me and said, you know, I know nothing about the Pan Am Games. I know there's such a thing as a Pan Am Games, but what really are the Pan Am Games? And, Will, I got to tell you that I think for people who aren't avid followers of the sports at the Pan Am Games, you kind of go, I've heard of that, but I'm not exactly sure what it is. And the average person just is on the fringes of it. And we wanted you on to kind of explain it for us. So good morning, Will.
Good morning. Good morning to your listeners. Good morning, Glenn. Good morning, Jamie. Yeah, well, I only came over to America from Great Britain last year, so I'm still learning about the Pan Am Games. So, yeah, being asked to come on the show was a good opportunity to do a bit of research.
Well, terrific. well, good. We'll all learn together. So
I'm a newbie, too. So, yeah, the Pan Am Games. Well, it's regional games held throughout America. The idea dates back to 1924 with the Central American Games. But the first Pan American Games wasn't actually held till 1951 because there was a bit of a bust-up going on in Europe and other parts of the world in between. But really since, well, the first games, Argentina topped the medal table. But since 1955, the U.S. has topped the medal table, and there's been two Pan American Games in the U.S., in Chicago and in Indianapolis. And, of course, the Pan American Games took place in Rio in 2007, which has given the American teams, you know, a good insight into what we might see at the Olympic Games next year. There's actually 36 different sports competing this year in Toronto, and probably in the region of 7,000 athletes. And there are 15 sports in the Para-Pan Am Games. So like with the Olympics and the Paralympics, there's now an able-bodied and a disabled games. Unfortunately, para-equestrian dressage isn't yet in the Para-Pan Am Games. Bit of a mouthful, that, isn't it? But hopefully we'll get there. So yeah, it's a big deal. A lot of athletes heading to Toronto, a lot of support staff, and definitely a focus for the U.S. Equestrian Federation.
Well, now, is this going to be, is it at Bromont where we're going to be having the World Equestrian Games here coming up? Is it the same venues or is it a different place?
No, we are just to the north of Toronto, a place called Caledon Equestrian Center, which is a well-known equestrian center, especially in jumping world, but also dressage and a few other disciplines. So they've upgraded the venue. It's a super venue. The dressage and the jumping competitions will take place at Caledon, and the dressage and the jumping phases of the eventing competition will take place at Caledon. And the cross-country venue is about 20 minutes from the main equestrian venue. So not at Bromont. I was actually up at Bromont a couple of weeks ago. What a lovely part of the world that is. Yeah, so we'll be heading up to Caledon, just north of Toronto, but very much a multi-sport games. And I guess that's one of the, you know, one of the advantages. I mean, I know the European system inside out, having been there for 11 years. You know, this is a huge multi-sport games. It's probably, I think, the largest multi-sport games. Well, it is the largest multi-sport games that U.S. athletes can compete in outside the Olympics. And there's a very interesting fact that statistically in most sports, athletes perform better at their second Olympics because, you know, when you go into that multi-sport environment, it's quite a slap. It's huge. It's, you know, people win medals that cope with the Olympics. People don't win medals when they don't cope with the Olympics. And I think the Pan Am Games give our young athletes, and we have a number of athletes having their first appearance on the team, it gives them a real experience ahead of the Olympics, which I think gives them a benefit above their European counterparts.
Well, and you know, I know that we have competitors from dressage, eventing, and jumping going. So it is really good practice for the Olympics coming up. Now we have another question, and I don't know if you can answer this or not. But in dressage, and my wife asked me this again yesterday, and I don't know the answer. And I help with the dressage radio show, so that tells you how closely I listen. So they have a big tour and a small tour. And they have people from the United States going on the big tour and people from the United States going on the small tour. What is that, like pros and amateurs? What's the difference there?
No, well, this is a great question. And I would say what's happening here is the sport of dressage within the Pan American Games movement is moving up a notch, but it's quite rightly doing it slowly but surely. So previously, all the competition in the dressage at the Pan Am Games was at what's colloquially called small tour level. Pre-St. George, Intermediate One, that sort of level. But the Olympic Games is at Grand Prix level. So what the Pan Ams have done is said, we recognize that we need to be moving towards Olympic level. And we also recognize that we have some countries that are still developing and can't turn out a full team of Grand Prix horses. So we're going to take it gradually. So you can send a mixture of Grand Prix, which is the top level dressage, and Pre-St. George Intermediate One, which is kind of the next level down. They can be developing riders, developing horses. So you could have a young rider on an experienced horse, an experienced rider on a developing horse, developing rider on a developing horse. And the team competition comes from a mixture between those scores. So it's not about, it's very much not about amateur and professional. It's about ramping up the level of the sport in the Americas. So yeah, I'm going to admit it's not going to be the easiest to follow in terms of a team score, because not only do we have a mixture of Grand Prix and Pre-St. George, but we also have a coefficient. So your scores...
You have a what?
Yeah, a coefficient. Maybe
it's
that's
math,
Glenn. I don't know.
Yeah, see, that's where I got lost. It was the whole math thing.
Yeah, so the math thing...
Is that like
easy.
A handicap in golf?
No, quite the opposite, actually. Oh. So if you get... 60%, and hopefully we'll get a lot more than that, but the math is easy, at the Grand Prix, it actually becomes it's 1.5% higher in calculating the team score. So what they're saying is, look, we're encouraging people to send Grand Prix horses. People should be tending towards, training towards reaching that Grand Prix level. This is about encouraging the sport in the Americas. And I know it's going to be complicated to follow. Luckily, we have someone with a huge brain that's going to sit there in the stands and double check they get all the scoring right.
But we wonder why non-horse people don't get it.
Well, I think that's true. But you know what? We've got that, and you're absolutely right in saying that. But this is about moving the sport forward. And actually, really, you know, as long as the computers are generating the right score, the non-horse people won't.
They won't know the difference going on.
And look, we've got two people from the top 10 in the world going with Laura Groves and Stefan Peters. And when they start producing that dancing in the main arena in Caledon, I don't think people are going to be wondering about the 1.5%
coverage. No,
they're going to be watching Laura and Stefan saying, hey, these are hot property. These are top athletes on top horses. And, you know, that's good for U.S. dressage. So, yeah, and I think, I personally think they've done absolutely the right thing. They've said, look, we've got to crank this up. We've got to aim towards being at Olympic level at the Pan Am Games. But we can't go there immediately. We need to take the whole continent and help them on that journey to having more nations from the Americas doing dressage at the Olympic Games.
Now, let's go to eventing here a little bit. So what level would that be? They use stars in eventing. Is this a 3-star, a 4-star level
it's
competition?
It's a kind of two-star
okay.
plus.
Okay.
Yeah. And again, it's about ensuring participation. But look, we've got a very clear target for the U.S. in dressage and in eventing, that this is our main opportunity now to qualify teams for the Olympic Games next year. So we're taking a very exciting team in eventing. We've got Philip Dutton and Boyd Martin, vastly experienced Olympians. Philip's number 3 in the world, Boyd number 11 in the world, but backed up by two riders who are on their first US team, Lauren Kiefer and Marilyn Little, who've had some outstanding results this year. So, you know, I'm really, really thrilled by that team, and they're great supporters, their owners, and the donors from the foundation that give us money to get to the Pan Am Games. You know, it's a real team effort to get there. But so it's 2-star plus, and we're not only aiming to bring home a bucket full of medals, but primarily our primary aim for dressage and eventing is that all-important, oh-so-valuable Olympic qualification.
And you know what? We don't have too shabby a team either, Jamie, heading for jumping. We got Georgina Bloomberg, Kent Farrington, Laura Ho, and McLean Ward. So there's an all-star team.
Who? Never heard of
Never
any.
Heard of any of them, right?
Never heard of any of them, no. I mean, hey, Tony, an Olympic gold medalist, the number three in the world. You know, Lauren, who went to Sydney when she was 20, I think. I shouldn't say it, but, you know, so I mean, massively experienced team. And Georgina, you know, experiencing her first top-level team appearance. But for the jumpers, you know, it's 2015 is very much a year of many halves, because they qualified at the World Equestrian Games last year for the Olympics. That's superb performance in the team and the individual. And they're focused on many things this year, one of which, of course, is the Pan American Games. They've already qualified for the FIOSIMA Nations Cup final in Barcelona, which is a very big team competition. So many competitions for the jumping team. But it just shows, you know, some people say, oh, Pan Am Games, you know, what does that matter? Well, I tell you, when you have McLean, Lauren, Kent, and Georgina signing up for Pan Am Games, I think that about says it.
You're right. Absolutely. And is there a way that our listeners can watch it?
Well, we're still waiting for a little bit more information. It looks at the moment as if the host broadcaster, CBC, are not having live streaming of that site, but that there may be video highlights which will be available through the Pan Am CBC.
So the FEI, I guess, doesn't cover it either, because it's kind of...
Well, the FEI, I mean, now you're getting into an area that's just, you know, when it comes to broadcasting rights, my eyes kind of cloud over and I go, please speak to this person. But I can tell you there'll be extensive coverage and reporting through the USCF website, and I'm going to give you a very British take on an American blog, or is that a very American take on a British blog? I can't remember which way it goes around, but I'll be blogging every day and providing behind-the-scenes insights and photographs from the Pan Ams, and of course we'll be trying to keep all the owners and the sponsors and the foundation up to date with what's going on.
Very good.
So please, well, join us.
Well, that's terrific, Will. What's the website where people can find that?
Well, there's the USCF website, which is uscf.org, I think. And then the Pan Am CBC website is panam.cbc.ca. And we're not sure what ESPN are doing yet.
Okay.
Or if you wanted in the vernacular, Papa Alpha, November Alpha, Mike.
and that's
my husband would be proud.
That starts in the middle of July. I think July 11th is when it all begins, and with dressage, I think starts first this time. So we'll be looking.
Yeah, I'll be heading up there on the 4th.
Well, you explained this so well, Will, and I know you've been a guest on many of our shows here at the Horse Radio Network over the years, and we certainly appreciate you stopping by. And you're always very clear and make it very understandable, and we appreciate that.
Well, I'd just like to say thank you to everyone that supports the U.S. equestrian teams. It's never easy out there on the field of play, but when athletes know they've got the support of the public behind them, it really, really makes a difference. So get online, support us through Twitter, through all those lines of communication that I have no understanding of, but get online and support us. It really matters.
Thanks, Will. Will Connell, Director of Sport, USEF. Take care, Will. He's a super nice guy. He's been on the shows for years and years and years, but he was coming to us from England then, you know. And then when I saw he was director of sport, I went, I didn't even realize that he moved over here.
He was totally enjoyable to listen to.
Yes, he's a
and
neat
I
guy.
Bet with that accent, he's got to be hot. So
I don't know if I've ever seen a picture of him, actually.
I just have to not say that to them anymore, because it flusters everybody and they all get mad at me or embarrassed or something. I don't know, but I could tell he's hot.
Well, let's do this. Let's let's hear, before we lose Will as a contributor to the show, let's hear from Kentucky Performance Products. We'll be right back.
He was her first love, the one that started it all. He taught her how to master the posting trot and navigate her first hunter course. They spent hours together exploring the trails and hanging out in the barn. His name was doodled on every page in her school notebook. His coat gleamed in the sun as he met her at the gate each day, snuffling for a treat. From the first time she saw him poking his head out of the stall to the last time she patted him goodbye, he was, and always will be, her everything. This love story is brought to you by Nalox Advanced, providing complete support for a healthy digestive tract, which reduces the risk of colic and digestive upset. The horse that matters to you matters to Kentucky Performance Products. Call 859-873-2974 or visit kppusa.com to order today.
And thank you to KPP for their continued support of the Horse Radio Network and Horses in the Morning. You can also follow them on Facebook. Kentucky Performance Products are always posting good stuff over there. Jamie, I want you to go to Horses in the Morning Facebook page, all of our listeners too, and hit refresh. And Tammy Sarantz wanted to contribute to our show this morning, and she was looking at buying some horses, and she saw this ad, and it did not have a picture of the horse in the ad for a quarter horse she was looking at. So she asked the horse seller if they could send a picture of the horse so that she could see the horse. And I posted the picture of what she got from the seller of the horse. Would you like to describe it, Jamie, what the picture that she got? Now, keep in mind, she's looking at buying this horse.
You know what? I had something similar and it happened to me. And this is better than the one I had. The picture I got was, it was like they were lunging the horse and they had their phone and they snapped a picture of it lunging. And it was like the back left leg of the horse is all I got. And they sent that to me. This one's even better. And I'll tell you why. The picture of the horse that she would like to have sold, first and foremost, are three chickens. Three chickens are directly in front of the camera. Just beyond the three chickens is a nice big tree, probably a pine tree of some sorts. And just behind, directly behind the tree, is the horse in question. Covered up by the tree, you can see the horse's face and ears while it's grazing. You can't even see this bottom half of its face, just the top half of its head. That is hilarious.
I thought it was very funny, too. She said, needless to say, I will not be buying that horse. People learn.
That is so funny. It just never ends. What I thought you were going to mention is all the people that are posting dogs.
Oh, my God. Apparently, people like to post pictures of their dogs.
I posted two. I could have kept going.
Danny is getting big.
I know. She's like 30 pounds now.
Wow.
She was supposed to be 12.
She's not 12.
She's not 12 pounds. But she is super fun in the water. She swims all day long. She'll catch the ball and dive underwater in the pool. She's hilarious. But she is definitely a 7-month-old herding dog. What? Let me do some. Right now? Okay, let's go. I'll do it. Let's do it. What do you want to do? Like, that's that dog. Seriously.
Oh, and you remember I mentioned Nikki's greyhounds? The picture of Nikki's greyhounds taking up the entire couch. One looks very a lot cute. Like Glory, actually. It looks a lot like Glory. There are like tons of pictures here of everybody's doggies.
These are great. Go check them out. Now, are you ready for your history lesson, Glenn?
Sure.
Okay. So I saw this, just a brief picture on one of these racehorse pages I follow. And so I decided to do a little more research. There's a guy named Frank Hayes. He was born in 1888 and died in 1923. He was not a jockey. He had never been in a race. He had never won a race before. He was actually a horse trainer and a stable boy. But he got the ride on a horse named, where is this? Sweet Kiss. Sweet Kiss was a filly. She was a 20-to-1 outsider owned by Miss A.M. Frayling. Well, 35-year-old Hayes had never won a race before, and so he was about 142 pounds, and he needed to get down to 130 pounds. So he worked really hard to apparently extremely quickly lose some weight and make weight requirements. And so he gets on Sweet Kiss and they leave the gate and he finds himself at some point in the front of the race. And he's so excited that he has a heart attack and dies while on the horse at Belmont Park. This is honest to God, a true story. It's a steeplechase race. He is at Belmont in 1923, riding a horse named Sweet Kiss, and has a heart attack and dies. And continues to stay on the horse. And the horse
But they have him stapled to the saddle.
The horse wins the race, Glenn. Wins the race.
With a dead jockey aboard?
It pulls itself up. I guess they went to get it. And the jockey is in the tack. Dead.
Usually we have it the other way around. The horse dies of a heart attack during a race, not the jockey.
Jockey, they theorized that he had a heart attack probably brought on by his trying to make weight requirements, possibly followed by the excitement of being in the front of the pack. All post-weight race regulations were waived. The result was that he won, and the horse never raced again, and I'll tell you why. No other jockey would ride.
That's a jinxed horse.
You know what they nicknamed that horse?
No.
Sweet Kiss of Death.
Oh,
Sweet
geez.
Kiss of Death never raced again because nobody would ride her. Unbelievable history lesson. So the picture I saw was in 1923, jockey Frank Hayes won a race at Belmont Park in New York.
He wasn't that old either. Was he in his 30s?
No, 30s. Yeah. He was 35. Despite being dead, he suffered a heart attack mid-race, but his body stayed in the saddle until his horse crossed the line for a 20-1 victory. Unbelievable.
That is a really good rider that can even stay in the saddle after you've died. That's a good rider.
That guy was born in the tack and he died in the tack.
Yes, he did.
I posted this on our Horse in the Morning Facebook page a couple days ago, and everybody was like, what a way to go. That's horse people for you. They're like, well, if you're going to die, die on a horse.
Die on a horse. Now, was there any word on whatever happened to the horse?
She was retired after that. She would never race again. That's all I could find out about her. He was buried 3 days later in his racing silks.
Oh, that's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. Wow, a story I knew nothing about.
Good
job finding that one.
History lessons, baby. History.
Good job.
I've never heard of that. Frank Hayes. I'm pouring a little coffee out for you, buddy. There you go.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our song, come back with some more news, and then we're going to have author of World Class Grooming on with us, Kat Hill. We're going to do something different today. Kat's going to join us for the whole reading of Really Bad Ads, and because we're giving away one of her books, and she's going to pick the winner at the end. So we're changing it up a little bit. But first, I have the quote of the week for you and from the Horse Radio Network, and this was from yesterday's Horses in the Morning show. And here it is.
I got my nipple kicked off once.
Oh, ouch.
So there you go.
What?
I'll let you hear it again.
I heard what he said.
If you want to hear what that was all about, take a listen to yesterday's show here at Horses in the Morning.
Good time.
He does explain it in detail.
Got my nipple kicked off. That sounds like Jeff Foxworthy right there.
I'm going to got a treat from you right after we hear from our good friends at EcoVet. Because I pissed Jamie off the other day during Wednesday's show so bad that she was about ready to quit at the end of the show, I'm going to play Peace, Love, and Horses for you.
Yay.
From Jared Rogerson, just to make up for that, right after we hear from EcoVet.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if your horse could enjoy a zone of repellency from pesky flies? Well, he can with EcoVet. EcoVet is an entirely new type of fly repellent that is safe for horses and those applying it, offering a real alternative to toxic pesticides like pyrethrins. EcoVet confuses an insect's normal directional ability, the bug's GPS, if you will. So if it can't locate your horse, it can't bite your horse. Dr. Wendy Ying from the Driving Radio Show has been using it in South Florida, also known as the Jurassic Park of biting insects, and she just loves it. EcoVet's active ingredients are naturally occurring food-grade fatty acids that have been clinically shown to improve the condition of horses with difficult-to-treat sweet itch problems. EcoVet is effective on mosquitoes, ticks, noceums, as well as flies. You can visit EcoVet online at eco-vet.com for more information or to order. You can find EcoVet at Dover Saddlery Stores and EcoVet's on Facebook. Just search EcoVet, E-C-O-V-E-T.
She can rope and ride, and she likes hanging out with me. She believes that love is the one thing that can't change anything. And she loves me, and that's the part that gets me. She's all about peace, love, horses, and me.
That's Jared Rogerson with Peace, Love.
You God, like that? I love that song. Like that?
Yes, I knew you. I knew that would make your end of the week so happy. Did that just you know, I was really caught up. I almost forgot the song was ending because I was looking at the pictures of all the dogs. Some cute ones there. A lot of people have greyhounds. We are Horses in the Morning. You're listening on this Friday. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings and Coach Jen in the producer chair. Of course, Really Bad Ads is coming up, and we still have Cat Hill coming up as well a little later. But, you know, there was a very important lesson learned by the Germans yesterday. You know, the Germans have had a habit in the past 100 years of pissing off the English, the British, and not coming out so well in those conflicts. Well, the Queen Elizabeth decided to head off to visit Germany in an official state visit, and they welcomed her and had the entourages and all that stuff. And then the German president, whose name I can't say, thought that they would commission a gift for the queen, and it was a painting done by artist Nicole Leidenfrost. And it was based on a photo of the queen taken in 1935 when she was a little girl and she was on a horse and her dad was holding the pony. And so this painting, which, by the way, looks rather childish, it shows Princess Elizabeth at the time, then 8 or 9, astride a pony, except that the artist took a liberty and painted the pony blue and with kind of yellow and green flecks. And then apparently did not do a very good likeness of her dad either, because the queen was not very impressed. And the first thing she said is, "Funny color for a horse." And then proceeded to say, "Is that supposed to be my father?" And the apparently the president said, "Yes, don't you recognize him?" And the queen replied, "No."
Oh, my God. She's salty. I love her.
So, you know, do your research before you commission a painting for the queen. I do not think that this one's going to be hanging on the wall of the castle anytime soon.
So does this damage their relationship with Germany? I mean, is this like going to be a national? I mean, because this got a lot of shares.
Yes,
press
it did. Yes, it did. I saw it everywhere. Yeah, the queen, she did. You know, when you get to a certain age and when you're in your almost 90s, I guess, or is she in her 90s? I forget, but close to it. When you get to that age, you can say whatever the hell you want, even if you're the queen. And apparently she didn't care. And, you know, when I looked at the painting, I thought, it just looked childish for something to be giving the queen, you know, whose house, by the way, is full of the most fabulous art in the world.
Her outfit is gorgeous for a queen.
I know. She does. She is. I know we've talked about this before. Can you imagine her closet? Does she ever wear the same thing twice? Ever?
No. They don't. And I just think someday somebody's going to auction off all her clothes and make $1 billion and give it to one of her favorite, probably equine charities.
And I did determine that Angela Merkel, who is the German chancellor, buys her pantsuits at the same place as Hillary Clinton.
God.
When you see the two of them side by side, the queen and then the chancellor, there was no comparison as far as dress is concerned.
That woman. I think they did a spoof on her and they're like, "Oh, look at her closet. It was 3 pantsuits, red, white, and blue."
I'm telling you, her and Hillary go to the same store.
It's about Hillary. Oh. Let's not get started on Hillary, shall we? Okay. If you let your husband cheat on you, you should not be president. Okay. Sorry.
Now we know how Jamie feels.
Politics aside, I seriously don't respect a woman who lets her husband have, you know. Okay, let's move on. Hey, did you hear American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa were nominated to the ESPY Awards? That's the ESPN Awards that they have every year, and it's a big thing for sports. But this is the first time ever that a horse has been nominated for the best champion performance category. And I've already gone on and voted, but he is up against, let me see, Madison Baumgartner, the San Francisco Giants pitcher, who's amazing. Lauren Hager, a softball player. LeBron James, the Cavs player. And then American Pharoah, the horse. I keep voting for him.
Well, if you go for computer. Which one I actually know, I've heard of LeBron James. The other two I never heard of. How does a softball player get in there?
Because I didn't even know there was like need equal
Is there professional
rights.
Softball?
There is. But she's from Florida, so I don't think there is professional. I don't know.
See, that's just what we know.
I don't know. But they also do a best jockey category. I'm looking for that one right now. Best jockey is Joel Rosario, Javier Castellano, and Victor Espinosa.
You know who's going to get that.
Well, he won it last year, too, yeah. For California Chrome.
Speaking of California Chrome, what is up with the owners of California Chrome? They just... It doesn't seem like, other than winning, you know, other than winning in the very beginning, they've gotten anything right since then.
It's like they were super sensible all the way up through the Preakness, and then it's a kind of unraveled after that. Although they did, it was, everything was fine in the Breeders' Cup. But if you think about it, he flew over to Dubai, which was totally shocking to me, for one, that he would go and race in Dubai. But it's a $10 million race. They wanted to get him some money, you know, whatever. But say he didn't win. So they decide to send him to England, where he's going to run in the Prince of Wales Stakes at the Royal Ascot. Well, he unfortunately got a stone bruise or something and was unable to race in the Prince of Wales Stakes. And so then they were like, okay, well, we are going to nominate him for another race in England, the Coral Eclipse Stakes. So he's nominated for that. And they're like, you know what? Let's just bring him home. That whole time in England, whatever, you know, let's just bring him home. But we've trained him the other direction and we've done all these things, spent all this money. Let's just bring her home. Bring him home. Co-owner Steve Coburn said on Twitter that California Chrome would depart for the U.S. at the beginning of July and would be prepared for the Arlington Million. I think it's a grade two, and it's going to be August 15th when the race is August 15th, and he'll be pointed to that once he clears quarantine.
What do you think this entire trip cost them? $200,000?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know. I mean, they, you know, they got a big bank account for that horse right now, so they don't really care, but
It's sad.
I was so confused anyway. And I know that Steve Coburn is the co-owner, but he doesn't own, like the other guy owns 51% and he only owns, a smaller percentage. So the other guy gets the final vote. And he's the one who said, Perry Martin, he's the one who said, let's send him to Ascot. And I guess Steve Coburn and the trainer, Art Sherman, they were not happy about it. So he's coming home. He's coming home.
All right, let's do this. We're going to do this a little bit differently. We have the author of the book we're giving away today on Really Bad Ads, World Class Grooming for Horses by Kat Hill and Emma Ford, two of the most famous grooms in the grooming world. And we have Kat Hill on with us, and we're actually going to call her live. So you're going to hear, we don't often do this, but... we're going to do it today. So I'm dialing Kat. You're going to hear it ring here in a second.
Enjoy this Verizon ring back tone while you're partying.
Oh, we got a ring back tone.
Oh, man.
Oh, I was waiting for something good. I didn't know we were going to get a ring back tone. Get music. Hopefully they won't bill us for this song.
Hello.
Hi, Kat. You're on the air. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. You're on with Jamie and I, and Jennifer is here, too, and we're so glad you could join us today. Let me just say that your book, World Class Grooming, that you did with Emma Ford, and by the way, Kat is one of the best-known grooms and riders and been around the industry for a long time, and of course, Emma has, too. Your book on grooming is one of the best books I've ever seen on grooming, and I've seen most of them.
Oh, well, thank you so much.
It really, truly is. And there must be, what is there, over 1,000 pictures in here?
There are. We actually, our photographer ended up, that's only a sixth of what she took. She ended up taking 6,000 photos for it. And,
wow.
But there's well over 1,000 in the book.
I mean, everything, you go through everything, don't you? I mean, everything.
We certainly tried. We really wanted to make it so that you could pick it up and learn how to do absolutely everything if you'd never touched a horse before, that you could pick up this book and say, okay, I can bring a horse home.
Well, you could. I mean, it starts at the beginning. It really does. The daily nitty gritty, getting ready to ride, workout care, horse health. I mean, it just goes on and on. Braiding and travel and what to do in the showgrounds and tack. And, you know, it just really does go through everything. And I know there's been grooming books before, but I you know, they always tend to concentrate on one or two areas. They don't have the whole thing. And you guys certainly have traveled with the horses enough to know the show side of it for sure.
Well, and that's for the two of us, really. When we first started talking about doing the book, we started talking about doing a grooming book with the show details, and really what we came down to is that our groom's job really is to make your horse happy, and that starts in the day-to-day nitty-gritty. You can't skip over that stuff. So we ended up writing all of it because we felt it was important to do all of it, not just how to make them pretty, but how to make them happy and healthy too.
So this would be a great book for somebody who just got a horse and maybe has a little bit of experience. I'm thinking about maybe I should get this for one of my students who just bought one of my horses and she's 13, and this would be a great way to kind of get her set up. Do you recommend it for a girl that age with a new horse?
Absolutely. We really tried to write it so that it would go across the levels so that you could kind of have your first horse and you could pick it up and go to your competitions with it. Or you could be a working student for a top rider and pick it up and find the details. We really tried to make sure that it was really comprehensive, that it covered sort of from beginner novice up to your first FEI competition.
And I like, Jamie, one of the things I really like about this book is, like, I'm looking at your section on applying simple polo wraps, you know, and it literally everything in this book, Jamie, takes you step one, step two, step three, and it's labeled that way. And then they give you also the things to watch out for, the wrong ways to do it. And like I'll give an example in polo wraps is pulling inconsistently is wrong. Never pull strongly as you come around the front. A firm, consistent pull prevents pressure points. You know, uneven layers, lumpy when you're done is wrong. So it really gives you the rights and wrongs of all the ways to do it, too.
I actually teach a lot of kids, and I have gotten it for a bunch of them because I do think that it's really, it shows all the step-by-step. And because sometimes you're even taught the wrong way. You know, it used to be that people would do polos by pulling across the front, and it's been shown that that's wrong. So, you know, we sort of say to people, okay, this is really the new, correct, better way to do stuff.
This is going to be great at Christmas time, Jamie, like you were talking about, even for coaches to get their students. You know,
this is great. Yeah. I have one that wants to be a working student for a professional rider, and then another one that just got a horse. This kind of goes for everybody.
Absolutely.
Dang it. This just got expensive, this interview.
And then there are pro tips too, all the way through, and that's you guys, you know, talking from experience there. And I really like that you put the pro tips in there. That was kind of a neat touch.
Oh, thanks. We always used to joke that we needed to write a book as grooms about some of the behind the scenes stuff. Some of it we can't actually talk about because it's a bit too embarrassing for all involved. But some of the stories we were able to add in about what it's really like living and working with horses. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who think they want to do it professionally, and some of these stories might convince them that that is what they want to do, and some of them might make them double think that.
And I, you know, one thing I didn't see at the in there was in that section was about the competitor parties at the various shows, and I kind of figured that was something that you couldn't talk about either.
There's certainly some of the competitors party, and certainly there's a couple, like we were going through pictures, and I came across all the pictures from when the team won gold at the Pan Ams, the eventing team won gold at the Pan Ams in Mexico 4 years ago, and the after party for that was pretty impressive because not only did we win gold, but it was the first time that everybody finished on the dressage score. It was sort of an epic event. So certainly we didn't talk about that party.
Where can people get the book, World Class Grooming?
So there's a couple places to buy it. You can buy it straight from our publisher, which is the best way to do it because they've got free shipping and they're a great site. It's called horseandriderbooks.com. It is also available through several tack shops. Joe's Tack Shop, Top Rail Tack has it. Bit of Britain has it. And I think you can find it on Amazon as well if you can't get to the tack shops.
Okay, very good. So that's the book is called World Class Grooming. It's by Kat, that's spelled C-A-T, Kat Hill and Emma Ford, two of the shortest author names in history on the same book. And we have to give some love, too, to our friend Jessica Daly, who did all the pictures in this book, because she did a great job with the photos in here.
And I do have to say, you can find her at jessicalinphotography.com, and she's the photos that she took that are artistic photos of the horses are absolutely unbelievably beautiful. And she's got an album on her webpage where you can buy the prints for your house because they're real art. They're not just pictures of horses.
Very good. Well, you're going to hang around with us, aren't you? And you're going to pick a winner when we get done with really bad ads today, right?
I sure am.
Well, that's terrific. We appreciate that. Well, let's get started with some really bad ads.
pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for Really Bad Ads, and that's brought to you by EquityMFG.com. And I was just outside this morning using my shake and fork. Talk about grooming. I was using my shake and fork in the barn this morning, cleaning the stalls. My pony is on restriction during the day because he's getting too darn fat. And so he doesn't get any food during the day because even a muzzle is not working for him. We're on anti-founder precautions at this point.
You need to just work him harder.
Even that doesn't help. The little boy just eats himself to death. So he is in during the day, which means I get to use my shake and fork. And I love this thing. I'll tell you what, I was using it this morning. I was thinking, why hadn't they invented a shake and fork back when I was cleaning 25 stalls a day when we had our big barn? And it is just that if you're cleaning more than 3 stalls a day, you need to spend the money on one of these. It will pay for itself over and over and over again. You're going to save on bedding. You're going to certainly save on a ton of time by using your shake and fork. It really does all the work for you, and I really haven't plugged this thing in about 2 months. Now, I'm not cleaning 20 stalls a day. Probably if you did that, you'd have to plug it in and charge the batteries every night. But I've been using it for 3 years now, have not had any trouble with the batteries winding down like your cell phone. They use much better batteries than your cell phone, apparently. And it just works. And if you're not cleaning more than 3 stalls a day, then you might want to look at the Flexin' Fork, which is one of the best manure forks out there. You can find them both at equitymfg.com. Head over there today. And I'd say about half our listeners now have converted to Equity Forks, either the Flexin' Fork or the Shakin' Fork, and absolutely love them. And you will too. Equitymfg.com.
I just got a little note from your lovely wife that said that because you have a shake and fork, you clean her stall too.
I do, because one doesn't seem like enough when you have the fork. And I wouldn't have said that 20 years ago when I was trying to get out of
you
cleaning.
You do your own.
That's right.
Stall.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Kat can certainly relate to that as well.
Absolutely.
I know you've cleaned a few in your time. Well, really
so
bad.
Kat,
yeah,
go Kat,
ahead.
Do you know what you're in for right here?
I'm not sure, actually. You know, I've listened to the radio show, but I'm a little concerned.
Okay.
You know.
Let me put your mind at ease. It's pretty, just so you know, listeners submit ads that they find mainly on Craigslist, which for some reason doesn't have spell check, thank God, or punctuation, or it's just disastrous sale ads for actual horse or horse related items. And so the listeners submit them. We read them as is. Okay. As is.
Okay.
And then you get to pick the one you think is the funniest or the best really bad ad. And that is going to be the one that gets your book. Okay. So you are you clear in what you're doing now?
I am clear. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Right,
don't hold it against us for being, you know, terrible. We're reading what we have.
Okay.
Well, the first one was submitted by our listener, Beth, who sent this one in. Thank you, Beth. It's 16-year-old 14-hand black QH/Morgan gelding for $1,000 in Luray, Virginia. Ranch raised, solid feet that kept him completely sound barefoot. Easy keeper that can survive on just about anything. I have no clue what all his fancy maneuvering is, but he is exciting. A fun to ride with his quick turns and twists. This is a true ranch horse, and even if you aren't going to buy him, you should come out and take a look, because these guys are few and far between. This is a first. Normally it says, if you're not serious, don't come out here. We don't want to see you. This one wants you to come out and just see the horse.
Just come on out.
Just come on out. I love that. I have no clue what all his fancy maneuvering is for.
All right, Paige sent in the next one. This is true old cow horse for $550 in Colorado Springs. Oh, Lord have mercy. Spell check. Gilding horse for sale. He is white with H tree, black, brown, gray spots. Tall, dot, dot, dot. Was originally a dude. Has always been a smooth ride. Has some spoke to him on trials, but he is very smart in ring. Dot, dot, dot. He's got slick auto changes with a red dun, a die tood. I will sell with his tack if you want $5.50 worth more, though. Yeah. That's a terrible ad.
I like that he was originally a dude. Well, he's still a dude.
I mean,
even when they come off, he's still a dude. I mean,
Yeah.
I like this too. He's got slick auto changes.
With that red dun attitude.
I don't know exactly what a red dun attitude is.
I know. I have no idea.
Well, I don't know, but those red duns, they have slick auto changes. They're really good at that, apparently. They're really good. All right. Kayla sent the following one in. Two good horses, T.O., good horses for sale. One comes with stuff. Both are good. I think that says it all right there. Hi, I have two, T.O., horses to offer you. The first is a brown and black tall horse. He is a worker and knows his job. He has the real fat and not the fake stuff. Yes, let me repeat that. He has the real fat and not the fake stuff. All the muscly fat you want and no lumps.
It keeps going.
That's my pony. He's all the muscly fat. Well, I want, no lumps. I'm asking $1,500. Second is a beautiful blue roan, shorter guy. Is lazier, but will go out on trail. Spooky sometimes, please be aware. He is cheaper at $800, but will come with feed blankies and other thongs. I'm glad that the fat horse isn't it. I really don't want to see the fat horse in a thong, though. That'd be bad.
I like that they say that the first horse knows his job, but they don't tell you what his job is.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's real fat, but not the fake stuff. Is there fake fat and real fat? Is there a difference in fat?
I don't know.
I often don't think of fat as muscly. Like, it's not normally... Oh, I think of fat.
Hey, wait a minute. That means that my beer belly could be considered muscly.
Yeah.
I'm not fat, dear. I'm muscly.
I'm muscly. next one was sent in by Uta. I feel like we've had this one before, but I'll read it anyway. For sale, world's ugliest saddle. This is a saddle unlike any other you've ever seen, sat in, or smelled before. This is an all-purpose English saddle featuring a 16-inch seat, a medium tree, round cantle, and a distinct odor. There is no maker's mark, probably because somebody was too embarrassed. It's ready to ride in today, but I cannot guarantee you will be comfortable. I'll include leather, irons, and stirrup pads because I don't think I'll be able to get rid of it any other way. Now, you may be wondering, how could I ever afford such a magnificent creation? Well, hold your horses, keyboard warrior, because this majestic butt cushion can be yours today for only $65. Shipping is not included. No trades, please, unless you have a trained pygmy goat that is fluent in at least two languages.
That's a well-written ad, actually.
It's great.
I like the majestic butt cushion. I want a bit of Britain in the next catalog to put that at the top of the saddle page. Butt cushion.
Hold your horses, keyboard warrior.
That's a distinct odor. That's mold. That's what that is. You need to get the book, World Class Grooming, to see how not to have moldy saddle. Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's included in there, right? How to take care of your saddle so
there
it doesn't become stinky.
Section,
yeah,
even the section about what to do with tied for forever.
Okay, good.
So that it doesn't get moldy.
Good. Well, we have our trailer of the week set in by Chelsea, and this is a goodie. It's a 1980 gooseneck horse trailer with sleeper. for $1,200. And this is the description. This is a two-stall horse trailer with sleeper and saddle racks. It has been parked since 1997. So it's been sitting there, not moved for 20 years. And Jamie, you want to describe it? It's a little different than a regular.
Well, the really amazing part is that neither window is broken.
That's true.
That is the only redeeming quality out of this trailer, because the trailer has been parked so long, I think it's actually sunk into the ground, because there's no clearance between the bottom of the trailer and the ground. And the tires are, of course, flat. It's completely rusted. It looks like it used to be red. It's a reddish-orange tint with flaking away at every seam. And it's all around. It's a good one. This is a...
Yeah,
this is a classic. How much is it? $1,200.
Oh, I know.
They're crazy.
That's over our $300 bad trailer limit. this one's scrap metal, pretty much. And even that, the most of the metal's rusted away, so... half of your value rusted in the last 20 years.
But the windows are good.
The windows are good. Yeah. And Jennifer's going to post that for us. And oh, by the way, for the regular listeners, they did not mow around it before they took the picture. Just saying.
No. No. You can't even see the bottom of it. It's sunk down.
It's consistent with all the bad trailers.
Yeah. And there's all sorts of metal surrounding it on the. Yeah. It's really nice. Really good one. Abby sent in the next one. That's the title. Horse mare trial horse. Registered 17-year-old Tennessee walking horse mare around 15-2. Not spooky. She is a friendly mare. She's had about 7 foals. I recommend her for at least an intermediate rider. She does have some quirks. She is restless and antsy. If you tie her up away from the other horses, she just needs work on standing to mount. She likes to go, but after 10 to 15 minutes under saddle, she will settle down. The only reason she's for sale is her current owner just isn't a confident rider and gets nervous when she wants to go. The mare has plenty of miles left in her, asking $800 or will partial trade for a mini under 34 inches tall. So the owner was not confident on this horse, so they're just going to get her a mini.
Okay, Kat, if you read between the lines, tell us about this horse. If you're reading between the lines here.
Reading between the lines on that one. Let's see. Did I tell you what I really think? Because I think,
yeah.
I think
yes.
It probably just needs work.
No, what you really think?
This thing probably gets hauled out of a field once a month, and they expect it to just be a four-wheeler. So it's probably just a horse. It's probably just a normal horse.
Yeah.
Who maybe needs to be trained a little.
She's 17 years old. She's been a brood mare for the last 10 years,
yeah.
You know, and they're like, hey, tack her up. Let's giddy up.
Yeah. She ought to be quiet. She's 17.
Uh-huh.
It kind of makes me want to set the poor thing up and give her a life. I mean, poor thing's had so many babies and now she's just getting unloaded.
Yep.
Okay. Listen here. The problem is that you and I see these things. The more you start to read them, the more sorry you start to feel for the horse. And I've searched for ads and I end up going to buy the horses. So don't feel bad. Move on. This horse is in another part of the country.
Right.
This happens all the time.
And you don't have a mini to trade anyway, so you're good.
Yeah.
No, that's true. I don't have a mini. Although
you
think that might be a good choice. I mean... Really,
yeah.
You can't be afraid of a mini.
That's true.
Even though they can be evil.
Yes. They can be bad for more than 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. All seriously, I see the ad and I'm like, I could fix that horse.
Yes. I'm listening going, okay, really? I think that it just probably needs to be ridden a bit.
Yeah.
Hire a trainer.
Shelley sent in the next one. Seeking a riding cow. Now, this is a first. We've done thousands of these ads over the last 5 years, and this is a first. Seeking a riding cow, and this is in Jerome. This has to be somewhere in the South, Jamie. I am looking for a riding cow to add to my farm. I want it to be calm and mobile, not one of those slow, fat cows. The animal will not be used for meat. Simply want to ride it and trot around my farm on my riding cow. Please contact me if you have one. And also, if you have a saddle type thing, I will buy that too.
Well, hell, I need to be friends with this girl. I want a riding cow.
I mean, this girl just sounds fun. I mean, she just wants to ride around in a saddle type of thing on a cow.
I mean, me too. We should be friends.
Sounds like a good time.
But give me that phone number, because there's a Jerome in Arizona. Maybe she's in Arizona.
Hey, Kat, there's a new market, an untapped market for you is training riding cows.
There we go.
Yes.
Grooming the riding cow.
Yes, grooming the riding cow. It's a whole new book.
Groom your riding cow. I like it.
That though, I'm sure the publisher will be signing up for that one tomorrow.
I want a riding cow. I'm going to copy and paste that ad into my nearest Craigslist.
I wonder if they got any calls. These are one that we really should call Kat on the air and find out if they ever got a call and if they found their riding cow.
Yeah, nobody ever gives us the phone numbers in the ad. Or maybe they do and Jennifer takes them off.
I think she takes them out so we don't get in trouble.
She knows we'll call. I want to call. I want to be friends with this girl. Okay. Great trail horse, $900. And let me say that before and after is about 50 exclamation points and every other letter is capitalized. So they really wanted to grab your attention here with their terrible ad. great trail horse, $900. Lady is a very sassy girl. She is a whore. Oh, gosh. Every one of these sentences has uber amounts of exclamation points. So they really want to get the point home. So I'll read it like that. Lady is a very sassy girl. She is a horse anyone experienced or not can ride. She neck reins beautiful. What makes her so great is that she can ride with a saddle or without one. So you can ride her horse bareback. Great. Cannot upload pictures, but feel free to call or text, and I can send them via text. But remember, pictures don't justify her real beauty.
Do you think this is the one that Tammy wrote to when she got the chicken picture?
Yeah, it might be. It might be. So let me read this as what now I realize it was probably a teenager who sent this in. So we need to read it as a teenager selling her horse. So great trail horse, $900. Lady is like a very sassy girl. She's like a horse that like anyone experienced or not can like totally ride. She neck reins like so beautiful, literally beautiful. What makes her so great is literally you can ride her like without a saddle or with one. I like totally cannot upload pictures because my phone is like dead right now and my screen is cracked. But feel free to like call or text me like sometime because like I may be able to use my mom's phone to send you a text picture, but like totally remember that like literally pictures don't justify her real beauty.
All right, Jamie gets the book. You win for reading that one.
Have you ever met a teenager whose battery is not dead and their screen is not cracked? Seriously?
All right, that's it. That's the last one. Jennifer, save the rest for next week. We can't. I mean, what are we going to do after that? All right, Kat, this is a problem we have every week is we can't decide. So that's why we had you on, because actually you have the hardest job of the day is picking a winner.
Okay, so I got to say it's between the muscly horse and the cow. And I think I got to go with the riding cow.
All right, there you go.
I just think I have to go with the riding cow.
Well, that means Shelly is the winner. Shelly sent that one in. Congratulations, Shelly. You have won the book. We'll get it shipped out to you. By the way, it weighs about 10 pounds. It's a very big book. So this is probably one of the best prizes we've ever had. And I'm being serious about that, Kat. I think it's a terrific book. And this is a good book, too. You know, the one market we forgot to mention, Kat, was if you have a new boyfriend that doesn't know anything about horses, or if you have a new husband that's not really the horse guy, but he has to take care of the horses occasionally or help you out at shows, this is a perfect horse husband book.
It definitely is.
That's
it could definitely be a relationship saver.
Matter of fact, it should be required. If you're
study up,
I think so.
Yeah.
If you're going to date a horse person, or especially marry a horse person, you have to read this manual.
That's right. And then you'll quiz them after.
That's so bad.
There you go. Well, Kat, thank you so much for joining us, Kat Hill, on her book, World Class Grooming. This has been fun having you along for the ride. We appreciate it.
Oh, thanks. It's been very fun here.
All right, Kat, take care. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, you deserve the win here, though, with that reading. That was one of your best readings ever. It really was. That cracked me up. God. That was great. All right. Well, Kat was fun. Isn't she great?
Yeah, like she's cool.
I like her a lot. She was in the Arabian world for a long time and then headed over to the hunter-jumper side of things. And she worked at Pan Am Games, actually, as a groom. So she's very familiar with them. And, of course, Emma is well-known in the eventing world as one of the top grooms in the eventing world. So good times. Thank you so much. And thanks to EquityMFG.com for their continuing support of Really Bad Ads. We appreciate that. And you can find all of their great manure forks over at EquityMFG.
Don't forget.
Yes.
Next week is Fork Friday.
Oh, yes. Everybody that submitted ads is going to be registered for a Flexen Fork, and we'll do the drawing next week. Is it that time already?
Next week is Fork Friday, and every single person who submits a bad, whether it's good enough to get on the air or not, is in the drawing. So you got to tune in. And if you haven't sent an ad in, get with it. Send an ad in, Jennifer at Horse Radio Network.
Fork Friday makes me think like, fork you.
Like, that's why I love it.
Fork Friday. We need to have a graphic made for Fork Friday. That'd be funny. And thank you to everybody, all the tons of people who've sent in pictures of their doggies. We really appreciate to keep them coming. If you're at work and when you get home tonight, put a picture of your doggie. You'll see the thread with all of the doggies. So our listeners have really cute ones. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us this week. We really appreciate it. Jamie, am I off the hook now? I'm off the hot seat, and we're back to normal here again.
Yeah, I guess. I get to pick the songs all next week, though.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Yeah. I'll let you pick the songs. It'll be Jared Rogerson, Jared Rogerson, Jared Rogerson, and Jared Rogerson.
Maybe not. You don't know.
We'll be back on Monday. We'll have our review of the New Medieval Times down here in Orlando. Are you got anything going on over the weekend?
I have a Thor update for you. I am taking Thor to his first ever riding lesson on Sunday. So we are loading him up. Yeah. One of my, remember the instructor I rode with for a while, then she moved to California? She is coming back in town this weekend to do some clinics. So I'm riding Edward with her on Saturday morning and then Thor with her on Sunday morning. I'm so excited. He's going to be like a real official horse in a lesson.
Wow, that's terrific.
Across the rainbow, oh. Asgard, where the booming
we haven't heard this all week. All right, take care, everybody.
Have a great weekend. Spay, neuter, geld.
Thanks for sticking with us, Kentucky Performance Products. We appreciate you.
God love them. They're awesome.